Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
11 o'clock hour here on
Still
Cody
talking
and
Vegas in the breaks, you know? Can't put everything on the air.
Cody wants more details
things. Yeah, oh my goodness. How about this? You tell me more details and I won't mention any of those new ones on air. Huh? Only what I know. I said any new stuff you give me off air, I'll keep off air. That'll be a what's happens.
Well, that's not fun for the listeners, so you don't get enough.
I'm going to say, the fact that you shouldn't have said anything, because now I want to know, because I didn't even make the trip to Vegas, so I have no idea what happened.
I've said enough today. I said enough today.
You're right. We can find out more in a snitch line in a couple of weeks.
I said plenty, I feel like, today. Plenty of my business was put out there today, earlier. If you missed it, go back on the podcast.
I will never get over the timing. Could have been walking
Cody
to that elevator.
Happened to be in the elevator. Are you kidding me?
Could have been walking to the elevator any second of that evening.
It was meant
to
happen.
Any second of that evening. And that's when I walked by. And I wouldn't even have been with the whole group had it not been for
She didn't even acknowledge you guys?
I would say it was like, she went, he said he's upstairs. I mean, she responded. He's in his room.
Oh, my goodness.
And then there was like a brush, but like she was in a hurry. Okay, so like,
well, I don't, let me just,
it was like this, you know, like.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean.
She wanted to get out of there.
It's 1 o'clock in the morning and yeah.
Jeez.
it was a quick exit.
Mm-hmm.
Quick exit. Anyway.
Pause. Let's get to the audio fun bag here in about 10 minutes. Some interesting things occurred in the sports landscape that we have some audio of, including Jameis Winston providing us not one, but two moments that were pretty funny. But let's talk about Travis Kelce for a little bit. I mentioned when we were mentioning Patrick Mahomes that 15-87, that was vintage stuff. But does that give you more confidence in particular, just that is what is still capable of happening multiple times throughout the season? I think all we care about is the playoffs, but 10 catches for 90 yards and a touchdown. Was that just, hey, Travis against the Raiders? Because against the Raiders, he plays at a completely different level for whatever reason. That's always a place, always an opponent where he's stepped up and had big time performances.
I think so. Some of it is that, right? Like he's just good against the Raiders. So, okay. But Travis Kelce had, I mean, maybe the slowest conceivable start to his season. But it didn't really matter, right? Because Juju Smith-Schuster had a 130-yard game in there. Before that, Rashee Rice was a monster. In the time since, it was, hey, Travis Kelce, we need you. Right after that Falcons game, I would say it's, hey, Travis Kelce, we need you. No time like the present. He went 7 catches, 89 yards against the Chargers. 9 catches, 70 yards against the Saints. Only 4 catches for 17 yards against the 49ers, a game in which they controlled a huge chunk of it, and 10 catches for 90 yards. It's an average of 68 yards per game. That's his career average. For the great seasons, the normal Travis Kelce seasons, that's what he does. The best sign maybe was getting back in the end zone. They got down there, and I thought maybe they're just going to force feed one to DeAndre Hopkins. They used Travis in the red zone a lot, try to get him on that little shovel pass, too. And didn't get him there, but like found the end zone once.
Oh, the Raiders knew that play was like it didn't matter. Mahomes was a great pass from Mahomes, but on the touchdown, it's not like the Raiders were caught off guard. They were trying to get it to Travis Kelce. They were just a tad too late. That's how it was a perfect pass from Patrick Mahomes.
I just think that Travis Kelce looked like himself again. And I don't know what he'll end up at in the end of the game. We had talked about what numbers we thought he would end at. He's now back on pace well over 800 yards, 813, 814 yards. He was on pace for 200 3 weeks ago. He was on pace for 690 or 680 a week ago. But when you start stacking up performances of 70, 80, 90 yards at a time, then you're good. And honestly, I think DeAndre Hopkins will make his life a whole lot easier. They're going to occupy some similar routes, some similar space, where one guy is going to bleed off the other, leaving the other man open. And for a while, they'll pick on Travis Kelce and try to guard him, and it'll open things up for DeAndre Hopkins. And then I think there'll be a month again when Travis Kelce just gets to force, you know, gets to feed whenever he feels like doing it. This was the best game he's had all season, not just because he was his only touchdown of the year. He just looked like the dominating Travis Kelce we all know.
It's what we would normally see for 4 or 5 weeks in a row, almost like during his dominant stretches. And I don't know if that should be a new expectation that he's now going to have rattle off 5, 6, 7 straight games of 60 plus yards necessarily. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if you're going to have 40-yard performance or something, and all of a sudden the projections balance back out again. But I think that was a positive because, you know, you always wonder. I think there's some fans out there that, all right, show me that you can still be that person still in the league, and he did. And yes, it was against the Raiders. For whatever reason, he plays well against them. They'll get them another time later on in the season, too. That's the good news.
They might even be worse by then.
But DeAndre Hopkins eventually getting the full playbook, maybe that's Monday night, will help on both ends. You know, Kelce will obviously help Hopkins, but I think DeAndre Hopkins is going to really help Travis Kelce in terms of him being able to find those spots in the middle of the zone. I mean, there were times he was just wide open. It wasn't like it wasn't contested catches necessarily.
One, he legitimately stopped. He caught it, and then he stopped almost like, look, he flinched for a half a second. Like, he was bracing for impact, and he was like, oh. And I ran for like another 6 yards. He's like, oh, sweet. Didn't realize that was on the table. I think a lot of this is the same thing. Well, this is really weird. The Chiefs offense over the last two games is the best I think they've looked all year at moving the ball and efficiency. And over the last 2 weeks, Gold, they've been better in the red zone. Turnovers are still there. That's never gone away all year. Talk more about that later. But every other part of it, the red zone offense was working and moving the ball was working together at the same time. Do I think it's a coincidence that each of those two games, Travis Kelce has like 19 catches for 160 yards? I don't. I think that those are directly in line with each other, because when Travis is great, the offense is great, because then you know Patrick Mahomes is like feeling it a little bit, is some of it. A lot of this is just makes me reassured that once all the wide receivers went down, and now that they're better at wide receiver, it makes it better. Could they rely on Travis when they desperately need, like, did he still have it? Yeah, I'd say the answer is yes, right? I mean, he's not going to finish. I don't think he'll finish with 1,000 yards this year. I'm not willing to rule it out. You know,
like, I would still be very surprised. I think if
how many yards do you think he'd have to average per game? Like 80?
What's his exact number right now?
Let's see. Let me find out.
We're heading into week 9 of the season. They've already had their bye week.
335 yards in 7 games.
Okay, so we're heading into week 9.
So that's 47.8 yards per game.
They played 7 games.
So they've got 11 left to go? No. 10 left to
10 go.
10 left to go, and he needs...
Let's and he may not play the last week, but go ahead. Yeah.
Well, we can leave that out for now, because we know he won't go for it if that's the case. He needs 66.5 yards per game. He's averaging that over the last 4.
I know. And it's one of those where you say it like that, and it sounds so easy.
Oh, I know.
It sounds so easy.
I oversimplify in that way.
That's interesting, though. Okay.
If he didn't play the final game, he'd probably have to average more like 80 yards a game.
That's the issue, potentially. But yeah, it was a really positive performance. Okay, really positive performance from him. All right, let's get to some of the fun audio from the weekend as relates to football. So Jameis Winston.
He's always good for the audio.
Starting,
thank God he's starting
quarterback
again
for the Cleveland Browns. Upset win yesterday over the Baltimore Ravens. He provided us a couple gems. Yes, he did. Jameis Winston in particular. Let's start with pregame Jameis. Pregame Jameis. There were two speeches that he actually gave.
You do pregame first, then post?
Let's start with pregame Jameis Winston.
What do you expect from yourself?
This is the day that the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it.
You're looking really focused right now. You told us this week that everyone inside this building believes that this is the time you guys can turn it around. What's been the message?
Unwavering faith. Ultimate belief. Dependent on the Lord. That's all we got.
You told me no nerves, just excitement and butterflies. Still feel that way?
Unwavering faith, ultimate belief, dependence on the Lord.
The message is clear, guys. Thank you, Jameis.
Just repeating himself over and over, repeating. Then in postgame, Jameis Winston.
Man, it's a white boy from Detroit that I really admire named Eminem.
Like
he
no
said
that
you only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity lasts once in a lifetime. And I know I got a quote, you know, Eminem, he's from Detroit, he's right up the road. But, man, I'm just grateful. I'm grateful that the Lord provided me with this opportunity. I'm grateful for my teammates, my coaches, and these amazing fans.
Quoting Eminem.
Only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity lasts once in a lifetime, and I know I got a quote.
I'm sorry. That's an old-timer. I love that he describes him in a way like nobody knows who Eminem is. There's this white boy from Detroit. His name's Eminem. You might have, I don't know if you heard of him. He's got a really famous song. Yeah. Yes, I don't know. I love Jameis Winston. I'm so happy he's starting for Cleveland. Makes him way more interesting to watch. Versus the other side of this, I can't even imagine how things are going over in sports talk land over in Indianapolis. Anthony Richardson. If you're watching the Colts game, all of a sudden Anthony Richardson came out for just a moment of the game. Is he hurt? Is he concussed? Is there a tweak? What could possibly be the problem? Here's Anthony Richardson explaining why he came out of the game.
Man, tired. I ain't gonna lie. That was a lot of running right there that I did, and I don't think I was gonna be able to go that next play. So I just, just told Sam I just needed a break right there.
You're the starting quarterback of an NFL team. You can't tap out for being tired.
You're the quarterback. That's like the one position. That and left tackle or something. You just have to play.
I mean, that's awful. That is really, really bad.
Especially for a guy who went like 10 of 33 for, I don't know, not enough yards. It was a pretty bad performance.
Damian Woody was like, I played offensive line my whole career. I'm not allowed to tap out. I'm protecting you. So I think one thing, too, that he said that I don't know if it's going to resonate with Colts players, but imagine he comes back in the huddle. They need a game-winning drive. I need everything you got this drive, guys. It's like, dude, you tapped out earlier in the game. Like, are we sure we're going to get all of that from you? I mean, it just sets a bad precedent.
I have never seen a quarterback take themselves out of the game for being tired ever.
Yeah, really bad.
At any level.
QB spell here. You know, spell the quarterback.
It's absolutely crazy. Next up on the audio fun bag was this from the game yesterday. I was not live at the game, so we didn't see the national anthem, correctly pointed out by Alex Gold and some members of social media.
Oh, man.
Turns out, not the best national anthem. Listen to this little...
This was Mickey Thomas, by the way. He was introduced. We're standing there, and then this happens.
I can't get over it. Just like forgets the word, and then he's just like, Let's get to the climax here. And the Rockets red glare. He just starts yelling that in the middle of forgetting the words. So good.
It really was.
So good.
And I guess, you know, he was, what was the name of the band from the 70s and 80s?
Jefferson Starship.
Jefferson Starship. And he obviously had a couple hits with them. Someone had to fill me in. That's just given my age. When they introduced him, I had no clue what songs he had sung before.
But you've heard some of the songs.
I've definitely heard some of those. Yeah, I mean, some of them are all time.
We built this city.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's a couple that are just all timers, but that's so bad. That one, definitely in person for me, is the worst one I've ever heard in my life. Not even close.
I mean, he just stops the words. Oh, hold on, I gotta start it back
you're
over.
Good, you're
it's hold on, it's worth it. The fact that you can hear the person, this is like a cell phone video. The fact that you can hear them start being like, Ben, are we not singing that part yet?
They're urging him. They're begging him. Come on.
But a lot of people have texted in saying it was funny. Mitch Holt this year on 96.5 The Fan was talking about, and I believe the text line has said Mitch Holt said it was the worst one he had seen in 31 years or something. I guess he went after the guy a little bit.
And you thought it was the worst one you'd seen. Think about how many.
I need
Mitch
audio
Holt
of Mitch talking about it. Man, that's what I need. I didn't find that, but that would be interesting to hear as well.
It's one of my favorite. Lastly, on the audio fun bag, and then maybe we can actually talk about what happened to this, because Matt Eberflew has given us a little more information. How about the call of the Hail Mary? This is on the Commander side of thing, as Jaden Daniels gives the Commanders the win.
Three, Daniels backing up. He's just going to have to let one fly. Goes to the right side. Steps away from the defenders. Gives himself some time. Now steps up, fires. Heads towards the end zone. It is
epic, all-timer, Jaden Daniels, Hail Mary, Commanders are 6-2, happy for their fans. They've dealt with crappy ownership for a very long time. New ownership. They got themselves a quarterback. They're atop the NFC East. And the other part of that whole deal is on the Bears side of things, of course, as we discussed earlier, is that the player for the Chicago Bears who was taunting fans before and during the play, as in live action, did not get over to the area of the Hail Mary, right? The throw in time, eventually gets there, bats the ball up in the air, and that's what led to the touchdown.
Yeah, and Eberflew has now admitted that's his man. He is supposed to be face guarding him. That's Noah Brown was his man. Okay. He's over there taunting, goofing around on the job. His only job is to go back there and stand in front of that man to make sure his coach made sure everyone knew today. It was his job to do it.
Yeah, it was. I caught that. Just on social, we were walking down.
Because you were probably, yeah.
We were walking down to the locker room when that happened. And some of the players in the locker room were talking about it. Some personnel from the team were talking about it. And we were trying to figure out what the heck happened.
DJ Moore addressed it and said, he is a captain. He said, the captains were talking about how we need to really address it. I think he put something out about how he was sorry, but we still got to address it. That is leadership group. We can address it as captains, and the front office is going to do what they are going to do.
He was I don't know if you can cut him.
He was a second round pick last year. I don't think they cut him. Now, if he was a unrestricted or undrafted free agent, you have to cut him. You would have
100%.
To. Fact that he was a second round pick, I'm not in Chicago. I don't know how well he's been playing. You might, for all I know, he's been great all year. I have no idea. But that just cannot happen, man.
You cannot put a second round corner just on the street. You can suspend it for a game if you want. Yeah. That's a huge swing in their season. Think about what their record is, where they stand, where they are if they go win that game. And yeah. instead they just give a free one to the Commanders. And they weren't supposed to win that game anyway. So, I mean, at least you could chalk it up to they were outplayed, maybe should have lost it. But they had it. They had it. If one guy just isn't goofing around, yelling at fans. I mean, you saw the video. I mean, he is all the way on the other side of the field. Yeah. He had nothing to do. Hell, if Jaden Daniels had just thrown the ball sooner, he might have never gotten to the play.
Yeah, he ran around, 30 yards, it felt like, to extend the play. And then he obviously
threw it up there. And he was, of course, the one who over-aggressively went back and tipped it into the man's hands he was supposed to guard. That just makes it so much worse, doesn't it? Ugh. Hail Marys are fun, though, just as long as you're not on the losing end of them. A lot of fun.
That is the audio fun bag.
Someone said maybe he was tired.
Yeah. If he was able to jump up just a little bit more, maybe he bats it down instead of, a whole different story there for the Chicago Bears and their heartbreak there.
Like, if it's not enough to already feel good if you're a Chiefs fan, in addition to it, the Ravens loss, this was one of the worst of the season yesterday. Losing to the Browns?
Yeah, but I was told last week that the Ravens, that team can't be beat with a healthy Henry and Lamar, remember?
Boy, that aged like milk.
Yeah, I mean, 4 days later, they lose to the Cleveland Browns. But the Rams, the Ravens, when they have Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, man, they're just, that team right now is so scary, and they just cannot be beat. And Jameis Winston.
It might only be the Bills
beats
now.
Them.
It might only be the Bills. As far as I know, we had like a threat conversation. It might only be the Bills.
Maybe. They do play in a bad division.
Because Houston hasn't looked the part either. The last couple weeks they've won, but
they have looked... It's a lot harder for Houston than I thought it was going to be. Like, they're having to, like... But they are winning despite that, which we give Kansas City credit for.
Is Diggs supposed to be out for a while now with the knee injury? He got hurt, too. So, Nico Collins injury. Like, Diggs, is he going to miss 3 weeks, 4 weeks? Do we know?
I haven't seen any.
They play Thursday night against the Jets. By the Jets on prime time again.
I mean, it was a non-contact knee injury. That's not normally I would say traditionally not call that a good sign. I guess my Tank Dell fantasy stock keeps going up.
Tank Dell, man. Yeah.
We can talk more about the rest of the AFC in a second, but I want to real quick get back to the trade. For those of you just joining us today, the Chiefs made another move. This time on the defensive side of the ball, Joshua Uche gets traded from New England to Kansas City for a 2026 sixth round draft pick. He had a couple years ago a double-digit sack season. It's been a few years since then. He provides, you would think, some depth. We haven't heard from the team yet as far as talking about said player, but a rotational guy that can provide some more depth for them. He's a rental, right? His contract is up at the end of the season. This is all about adding depth and helping them get to a Super Bowl again and ultimately winning the Super Bowl. Maybe tells us that Mike Dana's pec injury is going to take longer, or they're at least when he gets back, they're going to be cautious with him. Charles Omenihu will be back as well. Like they're loaded up on what is already a strength. And this is just a really cost-effective way to do it, Cody, because you're giving up a sixth-rounder next year. He's barely making any money. If he doesn't sign with you next year in the offseason, you might get a seventh-round pick back. So it's a smart move for Brett Veach in terms of the acquisition cost, and then a guy that might end up coming up big for you at some point in the postseason or throughout this season, and maybe allows you to be a little more cautious with some of the playing time for a Chanel, for a Dana and others.
I think that it's probably one of those, like, similar to DeAndre Hopkins. I don't want to get overly excited and just be like, 2 years ago, Uche is showing up. Like we talked about when they initially acquired Juju, or earlier this year, last week, acquired DeAndre Hopkins. This is even below that. I'd say it is a defensive line depth piece, which pretty much from the very beginning of the season, I've told you I thought they need. From the very beginning of the year, I've said they could use one more defensive lineman. That's all this is. One more guy who can get to the quarterback every once in a while, especially in pure passing situations. And because of Chris Jones, you know, we'll be one-on-one. The most interesting part of this is we probably should have seen this coming, because more than at any point this year, they used, and I'm sure we all noticed the same thing, they used Leo Chenal as essentially a fifth down lineman.
Yeah,
a fourth down lineman on the edge when they had three down. They were using him in like run stop, like he was being the set man on outside runs, allowing the linebackers to feed in behind. So like they were essentially using him like one more defensive lineman. And because Dan has been hurt and because Omenihu's not back yet, you could use that little extra depth. It also tells me one major thing. Veach is in. Veach is all the way in. If they got to make a seven more tiny moves and manipulate the cap a million different ways, they will put together the best conceivable roster they can in order to try to three-peat. Well, these are small moves, but they are moves. Like, sometimes he might just sit pat. He's not going to do that this year.
Well, last week, they converted Juwan Taylor's salary into a signing bonus. Mm-hmm. It freed up around $5 million. This move, we think, might eat up $1 million, $1.2 million, something like that. We'll see the final numbers on what Uche ends up accounting for. So it does leave them some more wiggle room. The pick they traded is not this year. They still have a seventh-round pick, or two of them, I believe, to offer up if need be, if they feel there's a necessity or a great offer out there for some cornerback depth. Perhaps, even though Andy earlier today said they just need some more reps, talking about the young guys, Joshua Williams and Roland Wallace, Nazi Johnson. It also means maybe there's a receiver that's available to provide some more depth. I don't know how aggressive they'll be now. Christian Kirk is not available. Not that I thought he was coming here, but that impacts what Deontay Johnson's market is. It impacts what Darius Slayton, DeMarcus Robinson's market is. If the
Chiefs
feel
that you bought DeAndre Hopkins before, price tag might be going up on some of these guys.
Yeah. So no, I mean, Brett Veach is just, I mean, you said it. I mean, the moves that he continues to make, these type of moves where you're not giving up a ton of assets. I'll go back to the Drew Tranquil signing even a year ago. These are sometimes where he does his best work.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. In these moves in the margins is where the Chiefs have made their roster better than a lot of other teams. I mean, go back to the Turk Wharton signing this offseason. Did you see 31 other teams lined up to take the former undrafted free agent that the Chiefs had found on the street from Missouri S&T Turk Wharton? No, they weren't. Chiefs were able to get him back for a couple million bucks. He was pretty much free of charge to come on back to Kansas City. Now, look, he's earned himself quite a bit more than that this offseason, but that's a move in the margins. Didn't have to give up a ton to get DeAndre Hopkins. That's a move in the margins. A fifth rounder, a fourth if you go to the Super Bowl, and at that point, who cares what you've given up? Like, those things all matter and play into this. And yeah, I mean, over the next few weeks, we're going to hope that they can remain undefeated before the Bills game. Broncos game will be tough. You know, Bo Nix has been pretty decent, admittedly. Not great, but pretty decent overall, so always adds a challenge.
Up next, we'll get to what's trending and talk a little bit about the World Series tonight and what is at stake.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's trending?
What's trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Number one on what's trending. Well, the Chiefs are 7-0 after the win yesterday in Vegas. They also added to their defense, as we mentioned just a short while ago. Joshua Uche comes to Kansas City for a sixth-round pick in 2026. Former second-round draft pick, final year of his contract. Had double-digit sacks a couple years ago. Here's what Bill Belichick had to say a little while ago on the Pat McAfee show about the Chiefs' acquisition.
Well, I assume it was a 25-6. It was a 26-6, then, honestly, then they didn't give up anything in my mind. And then if you like the player and re-sign him, then you re-sign him. Look, Josh Uche is a really good rusher. He hasn't had a chance to rush much this year for the Patriots because they've been behind a lot. And, you know, it's the situation hasn't been good. But he had a big year 2 years ago. Now, you know, he had Judon on the other side of him, so it was two good pass rushers. But he'll have a lot of opportunities to rush in Kansas City. I think that he'll really help him. He's got surprising power for his size. He's got, you know, excellent quickness and a good get off, and he has some flexibility in coverage. So I think it's a good addition for a team that needs another pass rusher, which everybody does. Josh can do that. He'll definitely help him.
That's a man who drafted him. I like that. I like that endorsement. Uche obviously had 11.5 sacks 2 years ago, as you pointed out. Only five over the last 2 years. But obviously on a miserably bad New England Patriots team. Next up on What's Trending, amazing news for Salvador Perez as he wins the Roberto Clemente Award for philanthropy, both on and off the field for Major League Baseball today. He becomes the first Royals player in their history to win the award. It is a highly coveted, big honor for Major League Baseball, and I couldn't imagine a better player to be the first Royals player to win it in being Salvador Perez. Really, really, really cool. I don't know if they're going to do something kind of like
probably next
year. Put him on the podium or like normally you get like a presentation at the stadium and some of the things to go with it. But obviously a really, really deeply cool honor for Salvador Perez to be the Roberto Clemente Award winner.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly because you said it hasn't happened here locally. My guess is next year, early in the season, there'll be some sort of presentation in front of the fans. I could be wrong, but I think that's how that goes down at times. Maybe there's something else in the offseason. Very cool honor, though. Next up on What's Trending, Adam Schefter reporting that Deontay Johnson, the wide receiver for the Carolina Panthers, will be traded soon, as in by next week. Also, now he says, don't expect Cooper Kupp to be traded. That's because the Rams won last Thursday.
They're only a half game back. That division is 4-4, 4-4, 4-4, 3-4, if I remember right.
Yeah, they're basically all tied.
Yeah, so, I mean, the same. Yeah, I don't know why they trade him right now. That division's up for complete grabs. And outside of Detroit, who looks good every week, I don't think that there's like a second team that like stands out amongst the rest in the NFC. So you could easily be the second best team in the NFC with a little bit more winning. Lastly on What's Trending, the World Series Game 3 tonight, Walker Buehler versus Clark Schmidt will be on the mound. Obviously, the Dodgers lead that series 2-0.
That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Yeah, that World Series.
What a dream scenario if you hate the Yankees. Oh, what a weekend.
One, they're up, you know, the Dodgers up 2-0, but in epic fashion. And Freddie Freeman's walk-off home run on Friday night, just pure heartbreak for Yankees fans. I hope you did have a chance to watch it. I know we talked about, like, you know, the Royals losing and all that, but if you didn't watch it, you missed an epic ending to the game. But if you were to pick a side, I don't know if it's the majority. I don't know how between the two evils that you wouldn't pick the Dodgers over the Yankees if you had a pull at all for one of the particular clubs. Doesn't mean that Juan Soto to me isn't likable. No, I think Juan Soto's a hell of a player and actually is likable. I think he backs up what he does. But the Dodgers to me, there's more general likable players in that organization, and I just can't stand the Yankees. But I hope we don't see a sweep. I know you are taking joy in the Yankees' struggles. So am I.
Yes.
But I don't know if I want to sweep because I still would like to have a little bit of a good series here. But I'm enjoying the Dodgers dominating so far.
No, I mean, well, obviously,
80% chance to win the series now, I think, is what it is. If you start, somebody put out the stats earlier. It's, I don't know, maybe it's not 80, but you start 2-0. Of course, the odds are going to be in your favor.
Look, I just want to be able to fire off that tweet later this week that is, the Yankees still haven't won a World Series since the Royals last won one. It's enjoyable. It's not like I feel good about the Dodgers doing it. It's like the opposite Moneyball. These are two of the highest paid teams in all of baseball who spend money with no care or abandon and just do whatever the hell they want. So it's like, whatever, I guess. But yeah, I feel good about the Yankees losing every time.
The Freddie Freeman walk-off, though, is
all time.
The only way you can match, like, get above that, it's the Game 7 of the World Series.
Yeah.
Other than that, or a clinching game, like, but Game 7 in particular. Other than that, this is as good as it gets.
Cortez delivers. Freeman hits the ball to right field. She is gone! Gibby! Meet Freddie! Game 1 of the World Series!
The way he held up the bat,
Joe Davis on Fox with the call.
It was such a moment because he held up the bat. He knew.
Oh, yeah.
He's taking the slow walk, letting it all soak in. And by all accounts, Freddie Freeman's a great dude, so like it makes it easier to like root for people like that. Also, Aaron Judge is one of the worst postseason performers ever.
It's crazy.
They got to the World Series like in spite of his ass.
Meanwhile, Stanton has been
incredible. Oh, he's great.
Everybody trashed Stanton the last couple years in New York. They should not say anything about him ever again. Like, he's been incredible in the postseason.
He's the only man keeping him alive in this postseason. If it weren't for Stanton and Soto, they wouldn't even be sniffing.
What's the latest on Shohei? He has a shoulder injury, right?
You might remember that was the exact same injury Adalberto Mondesi had in 2017. That he came back and played immediately, hurt it like a month later, and then missed the rest of the season.
Way different type of player, but yeah.
No, but I'm just saying, like, I'm familiar with the injury because it was one Adalberto Mondesi had.
I think they said he's playing.
You can play with it. So, like, it's a... But the risk of re-injury is relatively high.
He's only got 2 or 3 games left.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, that's fair.
If it was June, I think they sent him out a lot longer and all
God,
that.
Imagine how the Dodgers feel. It's going to spend $500 billion, the entire GDP of Guatemala, on Shohei Ohtani, not even pay it for another like 45 years, and then get a World Series in year one. Baseball, man, I hate the big market teams winning. The Yankees are the worst. Just anyone but the Yankees.
I told you, I can't stand their fans. That's also part
there
of
was
it.
A graphic,
so it still felt good.
That was the top 10 players between both teams in the series equals $3 billion spent.
Yeah.
Shohei's going to get all that money back from Ipe. Bonuses and stuff, dude.
Uh-huh.
All that lost Ipe money. He's not getting that back from the bookie who took it.
No, that guy's in federal prison. Both of them. Both of them are.
Both of them are in federal prison.
I think
prison.
They both are, right? Mm.
He's not getting that back. The person on the text line is still claiming that they're covering this up. Yeah. Big gambling scandal.
Like, people, I mean, throw out any conspiracy you want. Go for it.
I don't think they're covering it up, but... Pretty. I mean, I just, honest to God, I just wish I was rich enough that I wouldn't notice millions of dollars missing for a while. I mean, for a while. A man stole from him for years, and he's like, damn, wait, am I short a couple million bucks? That can't be good.
Even if, obviously, it was over time, so, but still, if you're missing a 50 grand or here and there, you know.
Feel like I'd know. I'll tell you right now. I'd know if I was missing 50 grand. I don't have 50 grand to go missing. Okay? I don't have that kind of cash laying around.
Yeah.
Maybe if I'd hit on every single bet in Vegas all time. Ugh, man. Someone said that barful Yankees fans cheering Ohtani getting hurt. Fans are the worst when they've been drinking and hanging out. They like to cheer injuries more than we should. But it is just whatever. Let's just be happy that the Yankees are losing. We can all agree to that, I think. Series. Is that your least favorite team in Major League Baseball?
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah, what I mean, there's no...
Them are the White Sox. No other team... they've been so bad, I can't even hate them.
Lately. No other team is close. Yeah, I don't like the Yankees. This goes back to the little East Coast sports thing, too. Red Sox, the city of Boston sports is very high up there, but Yankees fans. Yeah, just not a big fan.
I think I'm on the other side of you guys. I might be the only person...
You don't like the Dodgers.
I cannot stand. I would rather the Yankees win than the Dodgers win.
Really? Why? What's not to like? I mean, the Dodgers, other than they spent $8 trillion.
I think it's along the same lines because and maybe it's because I'm younger than you guys that I know the Yankees have won a lot. I know that they spend a lot of money, but to me, it's the way that the Dodgers have kind of just all of a sudden just done it, and
they still only have
really
one World Series title in the last 30 years too. They don't have a bunch of them.
I know. I just think that for whatever reason, and it could just be recency bias as well with how good the Dodgers have been, I'd rather see the Yankees win. I think I might hate the Boston Red Sox more than I do the Yankees, actually.
Based on your age, that's probably not surprising. As Gold was mentioning,
I love
that was probably the run when Boston was just winning everything and everyone's like,
yeah.
Ugh. Patriots were winning everyone. Red Sox were getting World Series. Celtics.
With KG and all that.
They all lump into that same thing, Gold, you're talking about.
The East Coast stuff.
We get called flyover city by the East Coast media, and where I got to hear about the Jets today if I'm watching national TV programs and not the Chiefs. And I'm like, why? The Jets in 2-6 and they stink. Their team is miserable.
My favorite thing today is...
The Chiefs
is,
are 7-0. I don't need to hear about the Jets today.
My favorite thing today is the coping, which is, well, if our kicker was as good as he was last year... Talking about Jets fans. If our kicker was as good as he was last year, then with these Aaron Rodgers numbers, they'd be fine. Like, okay.
It might be more of the Yankees fans, because you know that the Yankees fan... is also the Duke fan, is also the Lakers fan. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how it...
And the Notre Dame fan. Did you say Notre Dame?
No, correct. No, yeah. I did not.
Don't forget Notre Dame. Yeah.
Gold's lifetime, in Alabama probably. In Gold's lifetime, the Dodgers only have one World Series. When I was a kid, the Yankees won 3 out of 4. I mean, they were just winning every stupid World Series when
Your
I was
guy,
a kid.
Your guy, Derek Jeter.
Oh, yeah.
Your guy,
Bernie Williams. What, you know, like, I'm like,
oh, Jorge Posada.
Derek Jeter is maybe my favorite baseball player of all time. So I love Derek Jeter.
But Drew,
yes,
this is where
we go.
I got to be honest. You're closer to the fan you're describing that likes Duke and likes that not.
Oh god,
You're closer to that fan than not, because your fandom makes no sense. Wisconsin, Cincinnati. Derek Jeter, it's all over the place. It's crazy.
That's the thing. For the most part, in terms of the teams I root for, they're losers. Where
that's
Duke
true.
Fans and Yankees fans, if they don't
cheer... You did choose historic losers, except for Derek Jeter.
If they cheer for a loser, then they'd lose their minds. That's why it's got to be the Lakers, which maybe that's changed here recently, but they cheer for the Yankees and Notre Dame, but Notre Dame are the only team maybe they can get a... They're okay with losing from
Cowboys,
time.
Lakers, Duke, Notre Dame.
The Cowboys, I forgot about that.
Cowboys, 100%. That's the NFL team.
That was the other one.
And lately that's been a real misery situation, at least.
But yeah.
Honestly, most of the teams you just mentioned haven't won it. Like, when's the Yankees last World Series? Was
the Yankees, Cowboys,
20
and Duke
years ago
trifecta is there, yes. If you're not front Right. If you're in my situation, you don't root for any of your hometown teams. You're probably the Yankees, Duke, Cowboys.
You've abandoned
Lakers
your hometown, man. You've
I like
abandoned
the Pacers.
Them.
Shout out to the Pacers. I will say this: I was a Chiefs fan for a game when they played the Indianapolis Colts, and my friends and I would go back and forth about how Andrew Luck I thought was a little bit overrated. I needed the Chiefs to win that game, and then they blew the game. That was the 31-10. Mishap.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I hope the Yankees never win a World Series again. All their titles are during like the World Wars. We're like, look how many we have. Oh, kudos.
When was the last one that they won?
2009. It's like 15 years ago.
It feels like a...
Well, because the one like before that was 2000. So, I mean, it's like... But again, the Dodgers have consistently been one of the best teams in the sport. Like, the Yankees have had some down years where... been a little leaner, where they weren't in the postseason some of those years. Most of the years they were, but weren't in the postseason some of those years. The Dodgers have been one of the best teams in baseball that whole run. They have one title since 1988. They haven't just like, I'm not so sick of them in the way, Because, like, my childhood, the Yankees won it in 96 when I was 12, 98 when I was 14, 99, I'm 50. Like, my whole youth was just the Yankees winning. 2000. Whole youth was the Yankees just winning stuff.
Senator from the 785. My brother's brother-in-law's lived in Nebraska his whole life. He's a Niners, Yankees, and UNC basketball fan.
Yeah, that's, I mean, UNC, Duke, Kansas, no offense. Yeah. But, like, if you didn't go to Kansas and you're a Kansas fan, same as liking Duke or UNC. It's just like,
I don't know many people,
choosing a winner.
I'll say this, though. I don't know many people outside of Kansas that are Kansas fans. Like, it's a national brand because there's alums all over the place, but I actually don't know. Like,
you don't think a kid who grows up in California is a Kansas fan?
I don't know. Whereas I think your Duke would be everywhere, just for whatever reason, even though
Spec's
Kansas
a Duke
had,
fan. He grew up not at Duke.
No. Hold on. Spec went to Syracuse.
That's correct.
That
he's a Duke fan.
That is egregious.
Yeah, but you went to a school and you don't cheer for your team.
No. Hold on.
What do you mean? You said you're not a Butler guy.
You went to Butler, which had one of the most historical runs we've seen in the last 15 years.
I don't hate Butler. I like Butler, but if it's Wisconsin against Butler, they actually play against each other this year. I'm rooting for Wisconsin.
I bet he doesn't hate Syracuse.
I know, but
he just shoots for one.
If you are Duke and Syracuse and you're a two basketball powers, I think there's no way on earth that if he went to Syracuse, he should be a Duke fan. He could be any other conference. He could root for Alabama football.
I think it'd be
it doesn't matter.
You could be UNC and go, you know.
Well, sure.
I mean, either one. Duke can be a UNC.
Yeah, it's the whole KUMU thing or whatever, KUK State. Yeah.
Maybe your graduate degree, once you're already through the undergrad. Could you go to MU for your graduate degree?
No, but I know somebody that went to undergrad at KU, but they're getting their residency is at Missouri.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because for that, you don't could always get a pick.
You go where the med school that accepts you.
If you were to go to grad school, like, Cody, say you go to grad school and you go to...
Cody's going to go to grad school, get his master's in broadcasting, which is, in other words, he's going to go throw away money. Is what
he's
going to do.
I'm going to quit this job and become a tenured professor. You know, I'm going straight to the academic ladder.
I don't know if that'd be the right example.
Sounds like a terrible financial investment for you.
Because UMKC, they have the athletic base is there, but it's not like you're not UMKC like crazy. Gold, if you went to Oklahoma State or if you went to LSU for a grad degree, you're still rooting for KU more than LSU, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. But then I would also pull for, and that's hypothetical, I would also pull for LSU in other games.
Okay.
Just not against Kansas.
Yeah.
I think that's the exact same situation.
I mean, on a smaller scale, I didn't go to, but like, I still root for Boise State. I know a lot of people around that program and friends and stuff. I didn't go to Boise State.
I made some money on Boise State Friday night
we did. -4, baby. Let's go.
I think that's the same situation with me and my Wisconsin fandom. As I grew up, my grandparents lived in Madison. We visited there. I went to Wisconsin games growing up. They were my team, and then I went to college somewhere else.
Okay.
Point is, peer pressure works. Before I got down there, I was like, you know what, Alex? I put some money on Boise State, and you're like, yeah, okay, let's do it. It's like, all of a sudden, it's like half the bar has got money on Boise State.
Spread or money
spread.
Line?
Spread. They won by 5.
That was a good game.
Yeah.
It was.
They didn't cover it by a lot.
It doesn't matter if they cover by a lot, man. Doesn't matter. Do they cover?
Just win, baby.
That's just cover. You know, just cover. It's all we care about. Are you watching tonight? Monday Night Football as well. Do you think Russell Wilson can put back to back games together? Is he going to have George Pickens make unbelievable catches for him again?
If I have to hear the term moonball.
No, Collinsworth's not on the call tonight. Hey, Monday night.
One more time.
I think Aikman might give you a moon ball.
Then I'm out.
You think Aikman will?
Straight to the World Series then. Dude, I don't want to watch Daniel Jones versus Russell Wilson.
There's going to be one
I just
call.
Got back from vacation. Only got to see my kids yesterday. Nah, I'll do anything besides that. Besides watch that football.
Anything? You'll pay off the bet? The revised bet can go back?
Can you? Yeah.
I can reverse
it. On a Monday.
At any time, I'm allowed to reverse back.
Okay. I will not be watching.
I'll watch a little bit. I'm just curious to see if Russell Wilson can duplicate what he did. Because he was very fortunate with George Pickens last week. But can he go out there and have mistake-free football? And can the Steelers rack up another win? Remember, we just got done talking about the Ravens lost. Obviously, Cincinnati lost. Cleveland got the win. So there's an opportunity here for Pittsburgh to get a little wiggle room in their division as much as you could possibly have at this point in the season, considering what happened to Baltimore. So Pittsburgh, a win here would be pretty big, and obviously they're
freaking Steelers, man.
Favorites.
I will not be watching that either.
I might be going to sleep. Is when I might be doing
early.
Just, I
won't
be.
It sounds like
I won't be. I won't be watching. I will not be watching the end of the game. I will probably fall asleep ahead of time.
Do yourself a favor. Just.
I'm looking forward to a nap here. I'll be honest. I cannot wait. We had a great time in Vegas, but it's time for a nap. It is Shout out to all you. We're on the 345 flight. Hope you're making it through your work day. Your job is way more.
I was going to say they probably didn't.
Touche. Touche.
Maybe that one guy who's lighter police. Maybe
I still can't get over that.
He showed up to work.
I'll be honest. Like, that guy was a, jerk.
Yeah.
That lady dropped her lighter on the flight. We already landed. You didn't need to tell her and then say you weren't going to give her lighter back as if you're like some higher authority.
He showed up to work and probably told everybody. I showed up at 3:45 and I still came to work today.
All right, we're back at it tomorrow on the show. We'll have Nate Taylor join us. We'll get his perspective on everything that happened in Vegas, looking ahead as well. CDOT and Rob on the drive coming up next here on 96.5 The Fan.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.